We'd like to say thanks for joining us for the weekly Beechwood Christian Church podcast with Senior Minister Mark Black.
We've been going through a series of the Ten Commandments and looking at the Ten Commandments and asking some questions about how does that relate to us today? I mean, are the Ten Commandments something that we need to obey? Do we need to look at the Ten Commandments and live them out? Well, today we're going to be talking about remembering the Sabbath day. And number four, remember the Sabbath day. I'm going to ask, I can't remember if I put the scripture up there, Dwayne. Did I have? Yes, okay. Let's stand together and read this scripture aloud, okay? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as we look at this today, help us to gain insight and to strengthen our lives, our Christian walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk with you and talk with you, and that, Lord, you care for us. You love us. You do, Father, strengthen us in our times of need and in our times of doubt. And so, God, may you be with us. Open my mouth with your words. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be here so that the word of God may get into our hearts. Keep Satan from snatching that word out. We thank you. We praise your holy name. And may we honor your word by living it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I lived in Canton South area, and in the place where we lived, in a cul-de-sac area, had been the place where my grandparents had lived. In fact, many people that lived in that area was coal miners. Okay, anybody have relatives that were coal miners? It was very, very prevalent around this time. And my cousin, who I will say is much older than me, okay, used to say that he could sit on the ground and he could hear the carts of coal moving underneath. He actually could feel that. The reason why he told me all about that was because we bought a house there and he was a little concerned that the thing could cave in or something could happen. But they had taken care of those coal mines a long time ago. In fact, one of the neat things that used to happen in coal mines is they used mules. Did you know that? They used mules to kind of pull these carts along. And in fact, they used a lot of mules. In fact, in Pennsylvania, a visitor was driving by and he happened to see all of these mules in the pasture lands there. And he says, Why are there so many of them out if they work in the coal mines? They said, well, we bring them out to keep them from going blind. That in the darkness of the coal mines, they can actually go blind. If they're not brought up from being underground at least once a week, they'll continually lose their eyesight. So your mom was right when she said, turn the light on. Yes. They're brought up each Sunday to keep them from going blind. I thought, how neat that is. Because my Sunday helps me from going blind spiritually. Yeah. You know, people, I don't come to church because I'm a minister. You said, what? No, I don't come to church because I'm a minister. I used to tell my kids all the time, we will go to church if I was a minister or not. It's important. I come because I need to come. I need to come. You know, I need this word in my heart. I need it there. I need the encouragement of the saints. Church, I need you. You know, I need to know that God is working in my life, and I need that encouragement. I need also to hear from my Lord. And I need to be still sometimes and stop talking and just listen. Because God moves. But is keeping the Sabbath something that is required today? That's the question. And in order to do that, we have to first understand, number one, the ties of the Sabbath and Israel's identity. Okay? In fact, some of the ties to the Sabbath deal with creation. You see, the Sabbath has a direct correlation with creation. On the seventh day, God rested from his labors of creating. In other words, creation was done, and he rested. Now, that speaks a lot to me about creation. You see, God didn't take another million years to complete creation. It was done, and he was done. God rested on the Sabbath, the seventh day, which was Saturday. So why aren't we worshiping on Saturday? Well, we'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that. You see, even before the law, there was a correlation here. As we found out in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 16, 4 through 5, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, people, this was before the law was given. This was before the Ten Commandments. This was before the Hebrew children had received those things. They were fed manna from heaven. And they were told to gather twice as much on the sixth day so that they would have food for the seventh day in which they were to rest. They were told to trust God, and it would be a test. A test to see if they would obey him. Any other day, the manna would last just that day, and then it would become wormy the next day. But on the sixth day, it wasn't, because they were to use it on the seventh day. Look at Exodus 16, 26 through 28. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? You see, they failed the test. They were told, don't go out, stay in your tent, be there, and eat the food that I have provided for you. It is a day of rest. And it was a test. Well, they failed. When it came to the giving of the law, we find these instructions about the Sabbath. Let's look at the law. It deals with the scripture that we have just said. And I'm going to read it again in Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Holy means set apart, different than any other day. Keep it different from any other day. Before I read on, how many of you remember blue laws? Okay, blue laws was that you couldn't buy certain things on Sunday. But it says, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's set apart. It's different. Now, the Sabbath was tied to creation, and they were to do no work. Further instruction in the Bible told them that it was a complete day of rest for the animals and for all people. It was a time for family, and it was a time to honor and reflect on God, who is holy. Did you know that the breaking of the Sabbath brought death? It was more severe than excommunication or anything like that. It brought about, it called for the death of the person that broke the Sabbath. So the question began, what was work? And here's where we see it got very legalistic. Very legalistic. What were they to refrain from? The Bible said that they could not kindle a fire on the Sabbath. So they thought that involves cooking. So they were not allowed to cook. They were not allowed to harvest or plow. Now, there's only a few scriptures in the Bible that gave the prohibitions. And so the Jews made up hundreds of laws that would forbid them to do such things. Even the use of electricity could be called fire. And so for the very Orthodox Jew, they refused to use electricity on Sunday. Or the modern car was refused by the very Orthodox Jew if the travel was more than a walking distance from the synagogue, the place where they worshiped. And that meant a quarter of a mile. They couldn't swim in a pool if it overflowed, because that was creating a stream, and that was work. So it became almost ridiculous in all of the laws that they tried to follow and all the laws that they made. In fact, Jesus ran in direct conflict with the Sabbath. When he healed people on the Sabbath, they said it was work. Well, let's take a look at Jesus and the Sabbath. In fact, they said Jesus breaks the Sabbath. And one of the things that scriptures that we find is in Matthew 12, 1 through 8. Now listen to this. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. And the Pharisees saw this. They said to him, "Look, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to eat, nor for them with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. And if you have known what this means, I desire compassion and sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now that's kind of an interesting thing, because in this story it talks about when David was fleeing King Saul, because Saul was trying to kill him. He stopped and went into the tent of the meeting, and they ate the shewbread, or the bread that was on the table inside. He said, you didn't condemn David for that. And he also points out that on the Sabbath, the sacrifices are given. The priests are working. And he says, you say they're innocent. So Jesus had a great conflict with the way that people were looking at the Sabbath. He said, something greater than the temple is here, meaning himself. And then he makes that statement, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Wow. Now people, in Mark 2:27-28, says Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Wow. Now I believe, people, we need rest. Don't you? We need rest. We need a time of communication with God, don't we? And the Sabbath was made for man. And all these legalities that they were putting, all these legal views, did not honor God and didn't help man. Actually made more work. So let's look at the Christian in a Sabbath. Let's take a look at that. In order to do that, we've got to realize, people, that the Sabbath, the sixth day of honoring, or the seventh day of honoring God, was for the Jewish people. It was their identity. How do I know that? Deuteronomy tells me that. Deuteronomy 5:15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You see, that was their identity. God then told them to rest. Their job was to obey and trust. Now, as a Gentile Christian, I'm not Jewish. Now, I love a lot of the things of the Jewish law. I love studying the Old Testament. I love Jewish people. I pray that they may come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But my identity is not that of the Hebrew children. You see, God has given me the new identity. He's given me the new identity. In fact, in Colossians, Paul gives a warning about saying one day is more special than another. In fact, in Colossians 2:16-17, he says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Things which are mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. You know what he's saying is that these things were pointing to Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Don't let people say that you have to worship on the seventh day of the week. Well, those teachings of Paul clearly shows us that we're not under the law. We're not under the food and the drink and the festivals, the new moons, the Sabbath. These are that shadow of the things that are to come. It's kind of looking at, have you ever walked in the fall? I love the fall. And you see this shadow, and you're looking at it, and you're trying to figure out what it really is. And you look, and then you see the reality of what it is. Paul's saying that reality is Jesus. Yeah, he's the real thing. This was just a shadow of what was going to come. And so, on the early church met on the first day of the week. Did you know that? What day is that? Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Now, it's kind of a question. Why did they meet on the first day of the week? Well, especially those who were not Jews or Gentiles, okay? The first day of the week was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Wow! The first of the new creation. How beautiful that is. In Acts 27, it says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. You see, the early church had a practice of meeting on Sunday. In 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 10, he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, he was taking up a big offering that was going to go to Jerusalem. He says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collection may be made when I come. You see, they had this habit of meeting on the first day of the week, Sunday. They met. And the early writings of the early church confirm this, people. The first day of the week was when Christ rose from the dead, and it became the new identity for the Christians. Jesus. It's all about him, the Lord of the Sabbath. In Revelation 1:10, we find an interesting thing. The Apostle John is getting this revelation from Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ. And it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He actually calls it the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice like the trumpet, sound of a trumpet. And God gave him that revelation on the Lord's day, the seventh day. Now, I think that there is a principle that we need to follow of the Sabbath. Christ is my identity, first of all. And as I said before, I need the Word. I need the fellowship of the saints. I need that encouragement. I need the church. And when I don't come, I don't feel as close to God as I want to be. Even though I pray, even though I continued in my Bible reading every day, I feel better when I gather with my brothers and my sisters here. It helps me. And that's why Paul gives a warning in Hebrews 10:25. He said this, and not forsaking the assembly together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Paul saying, assemble together, worship together, honor God together. I happen to believe Sundays are important. And for the very reason that he said at the very end, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that, church? He's coming again. He's coming. You see, to me, my worship on Sunday morning is my witness to a world that doesn't understand. I witness to those who know me. I witness to my neighbors. I'm going to church. It's not the only witness that I have, but it's an important witness that I have. In church, we need each other. We cannot live in isolation. We need the presence of the Lord. We need to honor Him. And we need to rest in Him. And the times are getting worse. We see that in our papers. We hear that on TV. The time is coming near when Jesus is going to return. Church, we got to be ready. We got to be ready. You know, it's so easy to stray when you miss, and then you miss, and then you miss, day after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We don't want to be like those mules that have to live in darkness. We need once a week at least to get up into the sunshine. Some of us need more than once a week, right? Amen? Well, let's be a mule that sees.
Beechwood Christian Church is located at 12950 Easton Street Northeast in Alliance, Ohio. You can find more information about our church on the website at www.beechwoodchristian.org. That's www.beechwood, like the tree, Christian, that's all one word, .org, where you can also subscribe to our podcast and learn how our humble congregation is serving the Lord in Northeast Ohio. If you would like a copy of this message or the whole series on CD, you can find the instructions on the website. Again, we thank you for listening and pray God's blessing on you and your family.